thank you. David Liu and his wife Nicolette Liu are leading us in worship this morning. And as you can tell, Pastor Andre Mansour is on percussion. So I'm so grateful for that. Boy, it helps me to get ready to just get into the Word of God. So I trust that you'll get your Bibles in hand. I'm looking forward to an anticipation of this social distancing lifting, aren't you? We miss each other. So many of you say, I miss your smiling face. And I'm sure that that's going to be a challenge when we get together. And we will. We'll be back together soon. Praise God. And we'll go around saying to one another, homie, don't you know me? You know, we say, whoa, who are you again? Give me three syllables. Anyway, we're looking forward to being together again. Today, this is an exceptional message. It's going to be a two-part message. I really do think it's going to be important that we gather our Bibles and get to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians in the New Testament. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans. Then you're going to see 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. You've heard me just talk about how children just love their Bibles. Isn't it true? They just love playing with the Bible. I love listening to the Bible pages turn. Matter of fact, our grandchildren love playing with my Bible, and sometimes, if you notice, I don't know if you can see this, but one of my grandchildren decided to get the pen out and autograph it. So there it is right there. I don't know if you can see it, but I haven't really made them initial it yet, but one of these days I certainly will. Heard about a story of a little boy who's going through the big family Bible on the coffee table, and as he was leafing through it, lo and behold, a big leaf fell out on the floor. It was being pressed in there. He picked up the leaf, ran it into the kitchen, says, Mom, look what I found in the Bible. I think it's Adam's underwear. Well, you never know what you find in the Bible, but we do find the Word of God. So I'm opening to Ephesians chapter 4. Today's message is entitled, Helping a Bitter Friend. Helping a Bitter Friend, Part 1. We're taking a look at something very important. And we know we're going to need the Lord's help. So, Father, thank you for doing just that. You're going to resource us and enable us to hear what you want us to hear by your Holy Spirit. We trust you, Almighty God, and we look forward to what you have for us this morning. Victory in Jesus. Amen. Well, as we take a look here, helping a bitter friend, that's what I'm trusting the Lord to do for us. Matter of fact, you may even want to send the link out to a friend that you know is dealing in bitterness. I remember when I was just a new pastor in our first church in Banning, California, and there was one young lady, quite industrious, kind of know-it-all, but she was one mean pistol, if you know what I mean. And she would show up every now and then and want to run the things. And I had to actually just tell her one day in the middle of the aisles, I said, well, you know, you are filled with bitterness. That ticked her off. But she went home, told her mom, who was a member of the church, and called me up and said, Pastor Paul, my daughter said that you said she was filled with bitterness. I said, well, what did you tell her? I said, the pastor's right. So remember, maybe some things that we're sharing right now, God's going to show us and help us and bring some truth and victory. We know that there are areas of pain that comes really in three categories. Pain that, like, for example, a typical cut or maybe a burn. There's also those areas of inflammation that happen that cause pain in the human body. Sprained ankle, things that swell. Also neuropathy that comes where our nerves are in pain. Something's strained, something's torn. And the nerves are extremely sensitive. Pain happens. But there's one pain that really develops in the human life, and I've experienced that, and it's caused really by allowing bitterness to remain. Bitterness. And we're going to deal with bitterness, and I've asked you to open to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 31. I'm going to actually start with verse 30, but I'm in the New King James Version. If you have another rendering, that's great, no problem. But let me just start with verse 30. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Verse 1 of chapter 5, because the original Bible, there was no chapters and verse. That came later. So each letter in the scriptures was one continuous writing. Verse 1, chapter 5 says, therefore, because of that, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It's interesting, verse 31, let all bitterness, and it lists these things, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Get these things off of you. Get them out. And I like verse 30 because it says, be careful, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of promise. Man, you who are believers in Jesus, that's what makes us so different. We're so in tune in a relationship with God, but to allow something in our lives that grieves the Holy Spirit, maybe you or I that might be working through issues of unresolved forgiveness, that part of that grieving or ache or pain could be the Holy Spirit saying, are you willing to give it up? Scripture says, let all bitterness go. Now, if it was impossible to do that, then it should never say that in the scriptures, but we can. And it's important because it says, be kind, tender-hearted to one another, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. What's the big kicker is it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So we know it's talking to Christians here, Christians who know better. I'm always impressed how the Lord really set up his church when he said, I give permission for the world to judge you. When he said in John 13, 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Therefore, all the world's going to know you are my disciples by your love for one another. So sometimes in our situations, currently maybe, that love for one another is being stretched mighty thin. And it brings up remembrances of things we don't want to recall. I had an assignment for all of us last week when we were to not only tell your story to the children, tell your history, your involvement with God in your life, but some of you were having trouble with that because there were painful episodes. But then many of you said, but we saw how God brought us out. Many times, those areas that we want to recall, we know they've been a part of our life. If we were to go back and rethink it, it does bring up areas of bitterness. And that's why we're dealing with our topic, helping a bitter friend. Because it does play out and make a big impact in our setting. So significant. The notes that you'll see now, first of all, bitterness is when you decide you've been hurt so deeply that you'll never get over it. That's what bitterness is being installed right now at times when we recognize that happened so long ago and I was not even able to do anything about it. All I can do is just react with bitterness and just say, I'm never going to get over it. That's just a dreadful part of my life. But it affects people. You'll see on the screen, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15, when it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. You know, it's interesting. We talk about a plague going around the world. We can certainly say that the world is plagued by bitterness. It does not take any of us long and very far to see the results of bitterness in our world. Our culture, our country is being affected by bitterness. Matter of fact, it's portrayed in our films, our music. People just gravitate toward that stuff because we identify so clearly with revenge elements, people that are bitter. But the scripture says in Hebrews 12, boy, pursue peace with all people and holiness. Man, we want to see God. I think there's part of that area of the Holy Spirit where we no longer grieve and we're pursuing peace with all people and especially walking it out in holiness. But it does say, be careful lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. There's been such favor given to us, hasn't there? Such favor given to all of us. We're so grateful for the cross and the power of the resurrection and God healing us and giving us timely words and the manifestation of breakthroughs and miracles. There's a grace of God upon you. But we can fall short of that, scripture says, when a root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many become defiled. And that's our pursuit with this message. When we allow a root, and you can't really see a root, root's underground, no one sees it, but it does materialize. Scripture says it springs up. Eventually it's going to pop up. Something's going to happen. And you're like, whoa, toxic personality. And then we have to be careful about that. Springs up, and scripture says, causes trouble. Do you find your environment in trouble? Do you know that individual? Maybe you are that individual that you haven't addressed the area of bitterness. Scripture says, boy, get rid of all bitterness, wrath, clamor, anger. But we're dealing with the area of bitterness. It's interesting when scripture talks about anger. We've talked over anger before. And anger is really that instant reaction when you know you can do something about the impending danger or harm that's coming. You rise up in anger. But when something's happened, and it's happened quite a while ago, and you know you can't do anything about it now, that's when bitterness sets in. I'm bitter because of this. I'm bitter. So we have to be careful because bitterness is a traitor to you, folks. It will turn on you. It will come about. We have to be careful. It seems that many, if not everybody, has been bitter with somebody, to something, to some degree. So I want to just highlight our first point today is that bitterness is a choice. It's a choice. When you or I say our only weapon to get back is to say, I will always be bitter. I'm going to allow this to never get over. That's a terrible thing. But you have a choice to say, I don't want to be bitter anymore. Matter of fact, the scripture is all about giving numerous stories about classic examples of bitterness, biblical examples of bitterness. I want to cite three of them. And you can take a look at those. Three examples, three biblical examples of bitterness. First of all, letter A, the bitterness toward a brother. And the example comes from Genesis 25, verse 29 through chapters 27 to 41. It's Esau who was bitter with his brother for stealing his birthright and inheritance. So you know the story. Jacob rips off his brother's birthright and then his inheritance. And whether that's right or wrong, we really don't know. We just know that Esau was bitter about it, wouldn't you? And somewhere along this line, that all of a sudden the con artist brother Jacob presents himself like his brother Esau and goes into his blind father Isaac to receive the family inheritance of the blessing. And in that culture, it was irrevocable. Once you were blessed by your eldership, you were blessed. You can imagine when Esau discovers that too was taken from him. He was angry and he was bitter, bent on murdering his brother. His mother gets word of this and sends Jacob off 20 years away from the family. But he was bitter with his brother. So that can happen, bitterness toward a family member. Letter B, bitterness toward God. In the story of Naomi, it's in the book of Ruth. Naomi, who was bitter with God for allowing her husband and two sons to die. It's Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 through 21. It's a beautiful story, the book of Ruth, but it starts off Ruth and her husband facing a famine in the world, decide to leave their town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. And they go to the land of Moab. God's word says Moab is my wash pot, my wash basin. So they leave the house of bread and they go to a wash bowl. And it's there that her husband and then her two sons die. She realized, I'm going to go home back to Bethlehem. And the story is that all the women come out just screaming in excitement. And then they look at Naomi and they say, Naomi, is that you? Bitterness had so gripped her, she looked like a different person. And she says in verse 20, she says, don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant, but call me Mara, which means bitter, because I am very bitter and God has dealt bitterly with me. So the Bible knows a whole lot about bitterness. Maybe you're here right now and you're engaged in this point of scripture, and maybe God's robbed you, or God's allowed something to happen to you, or you recognize, how could God allow that to happen to our family? And you're bitter at God. So that's our second example, bitterness toward God. Third is bitterness toward leadership. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 6. It's when David's men, who were bitter with him, when they returned home to find their wives and children kidnapped. Now David left his crew and he continued to march off with his troops, his army, and led them in another direction, allowing their families to be exposed. The Amalekites came in, kidnapped every one of them, and his troops were bitter at David, and now were considering stoning him. It should have been the Amalekites that they were angry at, not David. So bitterness can almost be irrational, can it? It springs up somewhere. It's a root of bitterness that happens. It takes place in some areas and it causes that. So it'll spring up toward leadership. It'll spring up toward God. It could spring up toward a family member. It will come, if not dealt with, it will happen and be exposed. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 28, another example of irrational elements, how bitterness happens, we have a woman who is bitter at the prophet Elisha. Elisha miraculously just predicted that this woman would have a child. Well, the child grew, and then the child died. She was so upset with Elisha that she got on a donkey, went after him. He wasn't even in the same town. But we have in 2 Kings 4, verse 28, that she says to him, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? So she's now blaming Elisha. You could have that area where all of a sudden emotional high, to all of a sudden a very devastating low. So bitterness is irrational. I think you can see how important, as we address this, the significance of that. Want to add as well, Proverbs 17:25, where it says that a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. That a foolish son will bring bitterness to the mother. Interesting. First chapter of Lamentations describes in a poetic sense how that bitterness follows sexual misuses. It's interesting. Just, oh, I wish I never did. How could that happen to me? So bitterness is when you decide you've been hurt so deeply that you'll never get over it. But I want to remind you, bitterness is a choice. You make that choice. It is a root, but it will spring up. And when it does, it causes trouble, and it causes trouble for everyone that would know you or me. That's why God's word is so kind to us. Say, let loose of all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor. So it could be sometimes that bitterness is kind of like pride. We all have pride. We just deal with that pride in different areas. And we know that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So it's interesting when people are proud that they oftentimes really don't want to address anything, but yet pride is so deceptive, and it's at times can be even irrational, saying, I don't need help, I don't want anybody's help. But we have to be careful, because pride is the greatest enemy. Because we go into self-preservation, self-protection, we don't want to deal with anything, but humility is your greatest friend. Lord, I need your help. I can't do this. I've been wounded so badly. It's important for us. You know, people that are dealing with anxiety, dealing with frustrations, you know, a lot of times we really want to be omniscient. We really want to know what's going to happen to my future. We want to know, and we want to plan our future. And that causes people anxiety and frustration and even bitterness when it doesn't turn out that way. People also want to be all-powerful, all-sovereign. We want to not only know everything, we want to do everything. I want to plan my life out. But God says, let me do those things. Let's work it out together. It's important for us. God's dealing with things in our families. And right now, he's addressing the element of bitterness. Be careful, you who would think this way, because the devil will come and he'll often say, you don't need God. You have what you need. God's just trying to reduce your potential. Get rid of God. Wow. How long have you or I been dealing in this environment where people are distancing themselves from you? Would you consider that maybe it has something to do with me, with you, with those areas that are happening in our lives? Let me just highlight some things, because I mentioned this is a two-part message. But I want to help, and I want to just present some hints to help you to decide whether or not you are a bitter person. You have allowed bitterness to come in. These would be some areas that would certainly set up a person for bitterness. First of all, when you still hurt at just the mention of someone's name. That name's brought up, and right away you feel that sting. You might be a bitter person. Also, if you still have critical thoughts about someone, when their name is even mentioned, it just instantly comes right back. There's a chance that you're probably bitter. Another one, when you have worked hard to avoid being anything like your parents. I know that sounds odd, and I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're watching, but there are times that just children, when they grow up, say, I will never be like Dad. I will never be like Mom. I've stated that. I worked with my parents right out of high school at age 19, the family business, Quality House. My dad said, Paul, you don't need to go into administration, business administration. You can be everything you want. Just take over the family business. And I thought, well, I'm going to be a millionaire at age 30. How much does a million get you today? But that was big bucks back then. Working with my mom and dad for 8 years, I realized one thing. I will never work with my spouse if I ever get married. I had to work through that. God, by his Spirit, helped me, because he allowed me to see that I needed to trust him. I'm so grateful. When I met and then married my wife, Ainsley, naturally, ministry does better when you work with your spouse in that wonderful covering of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. I can't consider myself doing anything without Ainsley. So I was sure wrong, but it's amazing how that seeing your mother and father in tension and conflict, trying to work a business together or anything else, it can set into motion. Possibly, if you have another one, if you've left home with great relief and swore to never return again. If you've ever left home saying, I am out of here and I'm never coming back, there's probably bitterness there. Another one to consider, if you know someone you'd enjoy embarrassing in public, I just wish I could take it all back and just expose that person. Probably just a person that's dealing with classic revenge and bitterness. Or you've been abused, and especially as a child. You're so hurt, probably, and bitter. You're wondering, where was my protection? Where was my help, my guardian? Where was my parent? Maybe where was God? Another one to consider, if you've been through a divorce, it's very likely that you are bitter. And divorce is such a painful thing. That's why God's word says in Malachi 2, he hates divorce, because he knows how it will hurt and decimate the individuals and the family. And finally, I just want to bring this to your attention. If you've been the recipient of a broken promise or broken promises, I think all of us know what it is to be betrayed, to be set up. Oh, that will affect so many of us. There's a chance that you are bitter there. Our human tendency is and portrayed in our culture and say, well, all right, so I'm bitter. I'm going to just stay bitter. That you have that privilege, but if a person says, I've got a right to stay bitter, you don't. You really don't. God's word says you've got to give that up. God has not given you that right to be bitter. Therefore, God wants to allow us to say, let all bitterness go. Let all bitterness go. Why? Because he has something for you to do and accomplish. And that's to bring life and bring a good news to people at this time that are really needing help. Bitterness is a traitor. Remember that. It will spring up and leave you lonely. And I want to conclude with this thought, and that is this. Do remember, bitterness is curable. Not only is bitterness a choice, and I think we laid that out, how that can fester and be a part of our situation, our life, or our family setting. But bitterness is curable. And the remedy is forgiveness. And forgiveness is the only cure for bitterness. I want to present that to you, and I'm asking if you would kindly work through these next few days. We'll meet again next Sunday. Invite your bitter friends to jump online. Share this link with them, because you know that there are just certain things that beyond your control, but God's going to heal many wounds next Sunday. I believe he's going to heal you right now. I believe that. I believe even as we talk about it, there's something in your heart that says, Almighty God, please, please, I need my family back. I'm willing to forgive them, even if they were the ones that hurt me, abandoned me, left me. I missed them, and I want things to be right. You know, it's interesting. I was going over my archives, and I'll end with this last story. Pulling off just topics, as a pastor, you, in times past, you used to have to file things because you'll know you'll use them one day. And I still have an old file folder system. And the topic was on bitterness, and I pulled out a Dear Abby. Can you take a look? This is an old one. Back when we subscribed to a newspaper, the Orange County Register. And I pulled it out because there was one little clip I want to read to you. And then we're going to trust the Lord. It says, Dear Abby, I have many problems, but my biggest one is how to forgive someone and how to move on with my life. It would take me forever to tell you everything that has been said or done. Forgiving sounds so simple, but it is the hardest thing I have ever had to do. Can you help me? Signed, Challenged in Illinois. Dear Challenged, if hatred and resentment are eating away at you, then it is probably healthier for you to let go of it. Forgiving somebody isn't doing something for someone else. It is a gift you give yourself and allow yourself to move forward with your life. Then she mentions, and I always like that, please reach out to your religious advisor. They can help you. Well, that's good advice from Dear Abby, the syndicated columnist. But God's word is going to help us. Let's worship the Lord, and we'll be back to pray with you right now. Let's worship the Lord.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails. You won't fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same. never late. He's working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
Ainsley, I just know how the Lord's been really meeting us here this morning and just sense his presence and moving right there, right where you're at. Glad that you're here. I recognize he's already given us hope, prophetic words, prophetic words. And for you who are listening, we are believing even now that God's already starting to heal and to break you free from those things of your past. And I just want to remind, I wanted Ainsley just to even just lead in prayer for those things that we were just discussing, how God would be moving even now, right in your setting. But let's remember the word that we started off with in Ephesians chapter 4. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Well, that's such a great example. I'm trusting that you have received forgiveness. God wants to forgive all of us in Christ because of the cross, the power of the resurrection. Boy, that's our go-to point. I've received forgiveness. I know I have offended him numerous times, and I've forgiven others who have hurt me, and I've also asked others, would they forgive me for what I've done to them? So I want to invite Ainsley now to just pray and lead us in that time, okay?
All right. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you again for your word that tells us that you will keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because we trust in you. Lord, it is hard to put our trust in you and experience peace when we're thinking about the wrong that we've experienced from someone else. And so, Lord, we want to be people who give those things to you. So we ask, God, that you would show us places in our lives where we're bitter, and we ask, God, that you would help us to release forgiveness to those people, and we ask that you would forgive us, Lord. We want to be able to be at peace, and there's something that we can't experience of that when we're locked in bitterness. We may even be sick in our body because of bitterness that we hold towards someone else. So we're asking that you would free us from that. Lord, as we release those things to you, we pray that you would begin to flood us with your peace, with the joy that comes from being forgiven. It's such a wonderful thing. So, Lord, we thank you, and we ask that you help us in this area of our lives because we want to be free, and we want to experience your peace. So we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Ainsley, I'm looking forward to next Sunday. We already know that the Lord has promised to bring healing. We believe Jesus is our divine healer. He's a healer. We just know he is, because anytime we injure our bodies, given the right condition, they heal themselves. And one of the things I think we were talking about is how some people may be ill because they have sheltered bitterness and unforgiveness in their heart. So we're looking forward to your return with us next Sunday and see a miracle unfold. If not for your life, then for somebody you know. Let's make sure we gather together again next Sunday. But as we conclude, just want to
let you know that at the end of the message, there will be an encouragement and a reminder about us giving our offerings to the Lord. So we also have a P.O. Box, Box 548 in Huntington Beach. If you'd like to send a check, you're more than welcome to do that.
Well, thank you, honey. Well, in the meantime, we're going to sign off, but we want to just speak a blessing over you on this wonderful, wonderful Sunday at Hope Chapel. Thank you for joining us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
That's right.
The Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us today.
I want to thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach today. It's our desire to share the teachings of Hope Chapel globally and to hear how they empower others to follow Jesus. If today's message encouraged you to follow Jesus, we want to know. You can email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. If you'd like to support us financially, you can give online securely at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can mail that check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. We hope that you would be interested in having us contact you. You can subscribe to our newsletter by going online at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. I want to thank you, and God bless you.